Hey there, have your 2024 content marketing efforts stalled already? If you answered yes, book a content strategy call with me to uncover the roadblocks that may be holding you back. Visit contentmarketingschoolonline.com to book your content strategy call and check out the other resources while you're there. That's contentmarketingschoolonline.com. Richmond, welcome to Content Marketing School, where we will dive into content marketing strategies specifically for coaches, consultants, and entrepreneurs. Discover how effective content marketing can elevate your brand and grow your business. And if you enjoy the show, don't forget to hit that follow button. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Annette Richmond. Welcome to Content Marketing School. I'm so excited to have Eric here today to talk about this topic because one thing all consultants and entrepreneurs, business owners need is a website. And I know that there are many people that I've talked to myself who have a business, but they just haven't gotten around to getting a website yet. And so I thought that this would be a very helpful topic. And so Eric, please introduce yourself. Tell people a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Hi, so I am Eric Richmond. I am Annette's significant other. And I've been working in the SEO business for, I guess, about 14 years now. Before that, I had a background in digital marketing. And my company is Expert SEO Consulting. We work with small and medium, occasionally large businesses on improving their visibility on the web and getting more traffic, more visibility for their businesses.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to be here. Let's get right to it. If someone is just getting started and they want to have a business website, what are some of the things that they should consider?
Well, I think the first thing they should probably consider is how technically savvy they are, because the choice of a hosting company and the choice of a platform that you use for your website will be influenced to a certain degree on how comfortable you are with the sort of tools that you're going to need to put yourself out there.
Okay. And how so? I mean, I understand what you're saying, but just to clarify, for one thing, I'm thinking that you're talking about whether or not it's a website that you are going to be able to update yourself. You know, as you know, and my friends know, I am not a techie. So, but I have a simple WordPress site that I am able to, you know, update on my own. So is that what you're talking about? Investing in a site that you're able to update yourself?
Yes. From a very broad perspective, yes. Rationale that I'm trying to focus on here is at its very simplest, you're putting up a brochure. If you're not comfortable with adding things to a website to improve its usability and its ability to be searched, for example, you can start out with something from Wix. As an SEO professional, I don't particularly like them because they offer limited flexibility. However, for someone on a limited budget who doesn't have a lot of technical skills, they represent a very good choice. They're simple, they're easy, drag and drop. You can pick from a variety of templates. And in a few hours, you can have yourself a website.
Okay, so then it is something that you can tackle yourself. And when you're talking about a simple website, I'm assuming that you're saying you know, just a few pages of a, you know, and not going much beyond that.
Yeah, one page, two pages, three pages. You can use tools like that to create more than one page. The question is, you know, do you need to? And a platform like WordPress is a better choice if you want more flexibility in terms of the things that you can do and your ability to be found by search engines. It requires a little bit more patience in terms of learning how to do things, which is why something like a Wix, a good starter solution.
So what suggestions, recommendations do you have for someone who has gone beyond, they're ready to move past just having a simple website that's just a few pages and they need something more robust and they're ready to hire someone to work with? Obviously, they wouldn't be hiring you because you work with mid-sized to larger businesses, but how do they go about finding and choosing someone to work with? I would imagine that research would be involved.
Yes. So if you're going to go that route, there's a couple of possibilities. There is a little bit of a DIY component. So you could find a hosting company. You could pick out the design theme that you want. And you could create your own website. Your research there would be, you know, what platform do I want to use? Who's rated highly? What the costs are? Are they available to help me if I have any technical problems? Things like that. If you're going to go a step above that and bring on a consultant to help you build your web presence,
yes,
then you'd want to look at what they've done in the past. The kinds of businesses they focused on. You want to work with them and make sure that they understand you, your aesthetics, what your personality is, and that they are capable of translating that into some kind of a visual representation.
So if I am in the position and I'm ready to hire someone, do I need to know what I want on the website, or is this something that the person I hire is going to work with me on and help me decide what goes on the website, how many pages I would need, and all of that?
It's very much a collaborative effort. The people who are doing the design and the development work can only work if you give them the right information. So in an ideal situation, they will ask you questions and you'll respond and your responses will trigger more questions. And that's how they will be informed about what it is that you are looking for and how best to present that to the audience you're trying to reach.
Okay, so now let's say that I am ready to hire this consultant. Can you give us some idea of pricing? I'm sure that's a challenge. They're probably all over the place. And some suggestions for where we might be able to find consultants to do this work for us.
Prices are sadly, they're all over the map. It's one of the reasons why a good place to start is with some of these design your own websites, because they've already thought through kind of the basic what you need to have and can help you with some design suggestions. If you're going to go beyond that and you're going to look to hire a web designer, you need to do your research on Google. Find somebody that is local to you. Check out what their online portfolios look like. In terms of where you might find, there are often local groups that have web designers that you can source on the web. You can also look towards some schools near you, colleges, community colleges, local schools. They've often got people who are taking web courses who would love to help do something like that for you.
Okay. So then you get the inexpensive talent people on their way up if you're hiring a student, I would assume. So you don't recommend going to something like Fiverr, and that's the only one that comes to mind for me. I know there are a lot of freelance sites out there.
If you could find a resource locally, I would suggest that you go in that direction. There are a lot of them out there.
So I'd like to shift gears a bit and ask you a few questions about keywords and SEO, because that is so important to a website, particularly a business website.
But we do have a question first from Jillian. And Jillian wants to know, any special tips on SEO for a Shopify hosted website?
Yes. Shopify is one of those platforms that is it's self-contained. So there is there are some limitations in terms of SEO for what you can and can't do. The back end for Shopify creates multiple URLs for the same page. And from a search perspective, that can be a little bit confusing to the search engines. There are usually collection pages, category pages, and specific product pages. So the best thing you can do is focus on the fundamentals. Make sure that you're writing your page titles in such a way that they are clear and concise and contain the primary topic for whatever is going to follow on that page.
Can you give an example of that?
I can give a more specific example if Jillian can give me a little bit more specific question. Like, are you referring to your just the overall searchability of the site, or are you talking about specific product pages or product bundles?
Okay, well, we'll have to wait and see if she comes back with a clarification. So she will wait for Jillian to come back with a question. In the meantime, Erica asks us, she has a Wix page. So is her SEO doomed?
No, it's not doomed. Wix is another one of those systems that's closed. It's like Apple was in its early days. You couldn't bring outside people in to work on it. But Wix has some basic SEO tools built in. They are not quite as flexible as WordPress if you follow SEO best practices. So what that means is that your page title should be between 54 and 66 characters long. Anything longer than that, and it's going to fall off the edge of the search screen and won't be of any value to you. Try and put your brand towards the end of that character limit, unless the page is about your brand. So what that means is, if you're writing a web page that focuses on your on doing executive resumes or marketing resumes, you'd want to put something about marketing resumes or resumes for marketing professionals towards the beginning of your page title, because that's not really a brand focused page. You can tack your brand onto the end of that. If it's your homepage and the website does not contain your brand name as part of the domain name, then it's okay to put your brand name first and then follow that by resume professional specializing in something.
Thanks for clarifying that. So the thing with that Jillian is looking for is really just, I guess, optimizing the Shopify site for keywords, you know, on a keyword rich homepage. Let me put this up here and then you can look at it. Optimize for keywords, but their keyword rich homepage content is very thin, mostly photos. Okay, so thanks for that clarification. So what do you say to that?
Okay, when you think about a web page, whether it's a business web page or a personal web page, the home page is going to get more traffic than any other page on the website, but you should never think of it as the most important page on your website. Any page that somebody lands on from the search result is an important page. And the reason I say that is it's virtually impossible in the SEO world to get a page to be optimized for more than four or five keywords. And that's because Google likes to see a topical focus to the content on a page. So if you take your homepage and you try to make it everything to everybody, it's going to end up being thin where it counts.
So I'm going to shift a bit. I want to ask you to give me 3 to 5 tips for people who are business owners and they've had a website for a while, but 3 to 5 recommendations that they can do to improve their websites.
First and foremost, understand that there is a relationship between the content you write and the audience that is coming to visit you. And what I mean by that is people, when they go on the web, and this is particularly true of businesses, when somebody goes on the web, they do one of three kinds of searches. They either do a navigational search, an informational search, or a transactional search. Now, a navigational search is if somebody wants to go to Walmart, and instead of typing walmart.com in the address bar, they just type Walmart into the query box, Google's pretty sure they want to go to the Walmart website. Same thing is true if they type in anybody's brand name instead of putting it in the address bar. A transactional search is where somebody has already done their research and they're ready to make a purchase. So the content that you write needs to address the needs of someone who wants to make a purchase. They've already done all their research. Informational content is where you want to focus in this particular instance, using Annette's example. Somebody's looking for information. How do I prepare for an interview? What kind of clothing is appropriate? Even if you're looking for background on a resume writer or any kind of business, if it's an informational type of search, and those would be queries that are, can I, how do, what is, where, you want to focus the content in such a way that it answers the question that's being asked. If the content you're writing is written to be transactional, but the target that you're trying to reach is people in an informational state, Google won't show it on the search results because you don't have that that meeting in terms of intent and content. So that's the first thing I'd focus on. And then after that, you want to structure the content in such a way that it tells a story, same way you do with a resume. If you're writing something informational, start out with the basic premise and then break it down into subsections that all relate to that basic premise or that topic. And then beyond that, to the extent that you're going to focus on certain keywords, try to use them in the first paragraph or the first two paragraphs of the page. That's really where it's most important from the search engine's perspective. If you put your important keywords too far down the page, the search engine's going to go, wasn't that important? Or they would have put them up to the top. So you want to do that. Don't write for the search engine. Write for a human being. But pay attention to the fact that the search engine is going to be reading your content too. They're not just looking for those keywords. They're looking for the keywords. They're looking for how they're used. Mm-hmm. And so there's got to be a flow to everything.
So I have kind of a big compound question for you. I know you talked to me about keywords and SEO, and I know that you have a lot of fancy software because you work with larger clients. So I'd like to know, how can someone, a business owner, evaluate their SEO? And also, talking about keywords. Now, I'm assuming that keywords are words that people are using when they're searching for people to hire, people to work with. But also, I know we all want to be found for the work that we are doing. So also, how can we make sure that we don't have keywords to attract people who are not our clients? I know that sounds a little confusing.
So there's a two-part answer to that.
Okay.
If you're going to the effort of building a website, spend a little time and set up a Google Search Console account and a Google Analytics account. I'll come back to that in a minute.
Okay.
If you're trying to find out what the top keywords are for what your target audience is looking for, you can go to the Google homepage and start typing the first word. So if, for example, you go to Google and you type in marketing, Google will show a drop-down box that's got the top 8 or 10 terms related to marketing. That's based on real-time search data. So if you look at that, you can see which phrases are going to generate the most visibility. And just keep adding more letters, more words. It will change what's showing up in that box. This is a lot easier to show than it is to talk about. But it's what it's called Google Instant Search. And if you're looking for marketing manager, type that in and you'll see all the permutations of that are generating visibility on Google. That's one way to help you refine what phrases you're trying to be, that you'll be most successful at being found for. Now, of course, you can't put something in your personal or business page that is just there to satisfy the search engine if it's not something that applies to you. Backing up now to Search Console and Analytics. They don't cost anything to set up. They do require a little understanding of back end, so to speak. Google Analytics will tell you what happens once people get to your website. It'll show you where they came from. It'll show you the pages they're looking at, how long they spend on the site, and if you check the behavior, how they navigate through your website. Google Search Console, on the other hand, will show you all of the terms that are actually causing people to come to your website. Now, some of those will be terms you don't pay any attention to. They're irrelevant to you. They just happen to show up. But some of them will be terms that you're trying to target. And what you want to do is you want to look at those, see if those are the terms you're using in your written content, where you're ranking for them. It'll give you an idea, though, of how Google is matching up what you have written on your website with what people are looking for.
Okay. So it sounds a little complicated to just, you know, to go back and listen to it again. But when it comes to something like that, basically, if you're setting up Google Analytics, you can find information online on how to set that up, correct?
Yes.
How often should somebody be checking those analytics? What's the kind of a schedule that someone should have to, you know, to check their analytics and see how their website is doing?
It depends on how serious you are about your about driving traffic, because what they'll tell you is performance over time. Analytics will tell you how many visits you got to your website. And if you're running a small business like you are, I would look more at my Search Console, because if I'm trying to be known as a marketing or a sales professional or a human resources professional or whatever it is, I'd want to know that when people are searching for those things, that my content is at least part of what I call the consideration set, which means it shows up on a search result page when somebody puts a query in. If I'm putting myself out there with a personal website and I'm not getting anybody coming to it from the search, from Search Console, then I need to do a better job of writing my content. I need to pay more attention to my fundamentals.
Okay, I want to ask you about something that most of us have heard of. We really don't know what it is, Black Hat SEO. And you hear about things that if you hire someone who is unethical, they can do things to actually tank your site rather than help you. And so if you could just kind of clarify what all of that means, that would be great.
Black Hat SEO is... It's an art form, and
sounds like a black art form.
It is. It's doing things to get traffic to a website, regardless of the kind of website, that violate Google's terms of service. So, for example, you would never want to work with anybody that buys links on other websites, so that you get backlinks. Buying links is against Google's terms of service. And there are known link farms, directories. There are websites that are known to Google that engage in this. And if in the process of crawling your website, they find that there are links from those known offenders coming to your website, they may not block you from their search results. They probably won't, because you're not that big, but they won't help you. Mm-hmm. It won't help you perform better. If anything, they will devalue the authoritative and trustworthy trust scores on your content, because there are these questionable links coming in. So you don't want to do that. There are design things that can be black hat, and people don't do them very much anymore, but they still do them. When they build a website, they take a bunch of keywords, they put them in the content, but they color them with the background color of the page.
Ah, yes. Okay.
So that you can't see them, but they're there.
Uh-huh.
Google has the ability to actually see what your website looks like. So that kind of thing is a no-no. That's trying to hide content. The same thing is true when they use style sheets and they move the content off the margin, so it's out of the viewing range. It's the right color, but it's so far off the screen that it can't be seen. Google will flag you for that. So there are things that are like that you need to stay away from.
So if you're a small business owner and you're wanting to hire someone either to, you know, build your website, do SEO for you, you know, maybe do both. I know web designers, and part of their processes, they also offer like SEO services. So if you're looking for someone like that, and you might not want the person from the local college, so how do you go about researching to find someone for you if you're that small business owner?
I'll tell you where not to look.
Okay.
If you're looking for a website designer, and you go into Google and you type in best website designer or top website designers, what you'll get are websites that list SEO people on them. Over the years, I've been approached by websites like that to find out whether or not I would like to be listed on them. And most of the time I ignore those things, but occasionally I'll respond to them, and almost invariably said, "We'd love to have you. What categories would you like to be listed in? Would you like to be in the top 10, the top 20, the top 30? Because there's a cost associated with it." The reason I say stay away from them is because that's strictly pay for play. And that doesn't necessarily mean that those are bad companies to work with, but it's not an authentic representation of what that business's capabilities are. I would start out with asking, if you're in business, I would start out by asking people that you know from work, who did you use? Because it's a small world. My business is made up of referrals. I very rarely get business from people who are not connected to me in one manner or another. Now, sometimes it's somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. Sometimes they are direct referrals. But because there are so many questionable SEO companies out there, the ones mentioned who promise you that you'll be on the first page of Google if you only pay them $500 a month, the referral aspect of it helps. If you don't have anybody who's a referral, go on to some of the websites that specialize in SEO, like Search Marketing Land, some of the other ones that are out there like that, and see who's engaged. And you can ask them often, people who are writing articles, ask them if they have referrals for you. They will. Those are great sources. But do your research. Look for someone who's been in business for a while. Look for someone who's got a roster of clients that have stayed with them for a long time. And make sure that you find people who know your business. I say that because it actually goes against a lot of what I do. I keep my portfolio broad purposely because I like to keep my skills sharp, and I work with companies in all different verticals. But if you're starting out, find someone who knows your business. Find someone who's done this before.
Well, thank you for that. That makes a lot of sense. Well, we are at the end of our time together. I want to thank you so much for spending the time and sharing such great information that I know our listeners will find valuable. And I wanted to ask also, are you open to connecting with people on LinkedIn?
Oh, of course.
Okay, I figured so, but I just want to ask. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for tuning into the Content Marketing Show with me, Annette Richmond. If today's insights have inspired and resonated with you, please share this episode. And if you haven't already, hit the follow button to keep learning and growing with us. Wait, before you go, are you struggling to create original content because you don't know what to say? Download a copy of 25 content ideas to kickstart your social media posts for people who don't know what to say. Use the link in the show notes or visit contentmarketingschoolonline.com. That's contentmarketingschoolonline.com.